Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we're watching episode 488, Power Rangers Ninja Storm, episode 30, Wild Wipeout.
It aired September 20th, 2003, written by Jackie Marchand, directed by Andrew Merrifield. I'm just going to jump right in. We have a guest. I said we were going to have a guest. We got a guest. We're not dilly-dallying this time. Benny, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
You've been here so many times, it's not special anymore. So you don't. We don't have to like give. You can get your own drinks out of the fridge now.
Yeah.
I did realize that if somebody is listening to the podcast and they just skip the hiatus episodes, or specifically the by the number, then like they have no idea. Like I've been on one other episode.
That's
true. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, but to everyone else, you've been here like seven times, so you are our most reoccurring guest. So yeah.
The cabinets are yours. Help yourself to the ding-dongs.
Yeah. Bring yourself a nice bologna sandwich. Benny, we've already gone through all of your history with Power Rangers, but do you have any recent Power Ranger developments in your life?
I believe you all threw me for a loop when you asked for my favorite villain, because I wasn't prepared for that question before.
Okay. And you've been stewing over it since? For three seasons?
It's in my head every once in a while. I think I still don't actually have a favorite villain, but I'll just say it's Poissandra from Dino Charge.
Okay. I don't know her.
She's a trip.
Nice. I'm excited for Dino Charge. A lot of people seem to like Dino Charge. I'm pretty excited to see how it goes.
A lot of people are excited for RPM, and you don't seem to be at all.
So we got some time up front, I guess. Every time I talk about RPM, everyone trips over themselves to tell me, no, it is good, actually. And that's not what I'm... That's the problem, y'all, is that like everyone keeps telling me it's so good, and everything I see from it is so stupid.
So there was that I'm Scottish clip.
That
I clicked on that account, and I don't know if that account has just been going through like each season one by one, but they're just doing a lot of RPM stuff. It's like Power Rangers hype or something. I don't know what the handle
is.
They also did
a Jungle Fury, and I was like, oh, this one looks everyone here looks like real big dorks. They were like, no, it's great, everything's good. I'm like, y'all, I've watched 500 episodes of Power Rangers and critically analyzed them. I know the deal by now.
So RPM is a car season. Our car season is just stupid.
Well, okay, so here's my problem with RPM. I'll just put it on the table here where a conservative estimate, 8% of the amount of people who responded to me will actually hear it. Everyone says it's like the best season of Power Rangers. Like it's dark and it's like, but it's not like dark.
I'm not seeing dark from the clips.
It's not like gritty dark. It's just like the themes are a lot darker and they're like, everything's good. The writing's so good. And then I see this clip where someone is just like, the red one is the leader and the black one's the handsome one and the yellow one's the girl and what are you? And then Shrek goes, I'm Scottish. And like is that good? Do you think that's good?
That is peak writing.
Okay, so in defense of RPM, which is not my favorite season, it has a darker setting. The environment in which the story occurs is much darker. Not really the story itself. And I think you have to learn about the characters and actually start to care about them in order for that joke to actually land. If you have no idea who this guy is and what his backstory, it's a dumb joke and that's it. But if you know his story and you really like him, then it's a dumb joke from a character that you love, and so you end up loving the joke anyways. But yeah, it's still Power Rangers. There's still really dumb things in it.
I just
want to ask while we're here, because I did go to that account and I watched some other RPM clips. And so I saw this big Megazord that they all put together. It was after like the other two, like the Shiny Rangers come in.
And everything's got googly eyes.
And it's just this, it's so big and it's so ridiculous and it has big shark tails sticking out of its thighs. And I just want to know, is the season of Sentai that RPM is based on also a goofy, like Turbo-esque season?
I have only seen like when that team is in a Versus movie. But as far as I know, it was a very goofy season and not actually well received, and RPM just took it in a totally different direction. So you do have this, like, on the Power Rangers side, this, like, a little bit more serious storyline and, you know, setting with, you know, goofy stuff happening. And then you have the Sentai clips that they're working with that are just googly eyes. And it's like, how do you mash these two together? And I think they actually do a good job of mashing the two together.
Okay, I will reserve judgment. And to be clear, I don't mind when Power Rangers is goofy. My favorite episode is the jacket episode. That's not a joke. I think the best episode of Power Rangers is when a robot puts on a big jacket, gets in a bigger robot, and puts on a bigger jacket. Like, that I think is as good as Power Rangers ever got. But, like, so I don't mind it when it's goofy. I just, like, what I hate is the expectation that everyone has set up, and then I see a clip like that, which is just, like, the worst parts of the new Voltron that I also hate. Because I hate when things are like, oh, we're really meta, but we're making fun of, like, the thing that you like about the show. Like if you don't, just don't talk about it. If you don't want to do it, just, it's easy.
Yeah, RPM's going to be real interesting for y'all. And yeah, like, the last episode I was on with you all was one of the mermaid episodes.
Mermaid episodes.
And then I chose this episode, which definitely goes places.
I'm excited because it seems like a Tori episode because nobody else surfs, so...
Well, you can wipe out on anything.
That is true, but I because Wipeout is like a classic surf rock song. It's a real wet song. I just always associate Wipeout with surfing. So, so Benny, any other Power Ranger updates? You did watch the Hyperforce did a read of the movie script last night.
Yeah, so it was one of their second drafts. Second Draft is one of their shows where they go through reading the script of a movie and then the people watching can tip and they can replace words in the script with something else, or they can replace concepts. So people just got really weird. They replaced Tommy with Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, no.
I paid real actual money to change the word Zord to Gundam. So by the very end, they've just replaced all of these different words and concepts in the movie, and the final battle is just surreal.
Which, is this the 2017 movie script?
No, it's the 95.
The 95, okay, that's crazy.
It's the, like, original script before they replaced the actresses who played Dulcia. Yeah, so, like, I had never heard some of these scenes before, so that was really interesting.
That's pretty. I want to track that script down. I'm always fascinated by early Power Rangers drafts before the studio gets their hands on it and just chops it to bits and makes it the dumbest they can. Does anyone, so at the end, just because I know everyone's replacing everything, so I guess this means that a giant Gundam Deadpool probably knees Voldemort in the nuts then at the end, if and it says yes we can behind him.
Kind of that energy, yes.
And they replaced the morph call with thanks, Obama.
Oh, God, that would have been hilarious, actually. But even more, like, inside jokes. So this was very much for the Hyperforce Power Ranger, okay, like, fan base. So, like, they replaced most of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers with the Hyperforce Rangers, who were the people reading the script.
Right, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
At least they played along a little bit, and then Tommy is just Tommy Wiseau now. Tommy Wiseau. Oh, hi, Jason.
Good Uzi. All right, so without any further ado, do y'all want to go break and go watch Wild Wipeout?
Sounds good.
All right.
Ninja Storm Ranger Form!
And we're back, and we just watched The Wild Wipeout, and it was dope.
It was really good.
I like the Wild Wipeout a lot. It was fun.
It has one of my absolute favorite scenes in all of Power Rangers in it.
Nice. I can't wait to find out which one it was, because there is a scene in it that I straight up like lost my mind at how dope it was. And that asterisk, because it is Power Rangers, there is some dumb stuff in it, but you got to take that with the, you know, with most of it. Which, again, that's why I don't think RPM is, like, I'm not against RPM from the start.
Who are you trying to convince?
I just think the expectations. You know how much shit I'm going to get for this? I got 15 responses to one tweet saying, y'all have set this up, I don't think it's going to land. And then everyone's like, no, trust us. And I'm like, this is the problem, you see. Anyway, heyjakeandjosh.com, that's the website. You can go there, listen to old episodes up through Lightspeed Rescue. You can also go to our classic feeds, which are up through Turbo. And by, you know what, I'm just going to say it. Last time I did this, it worked. So I'm just going to say it. In Space has made its way into Classic 2 from the secret hidden Classic 3.
Maybe I'll just upload Classic 3 and that'll just be In Space.
Just In Space? Got him.
It's already done. I just need to copy the blog into a feed and it's done.
Speaking of, I still definitely need to email you that RSS file thing.
Yep.
Keep forgetting. Where was that? You can email us at littleidiots.morphinggrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at morphinggrid. We're on Ringo Podcasts. We're on Google Play and Podknife and Podbay and Podbaby and Podwipeout. That's where you think you're going to... This is Benny's least favorite bit in the show, and it's one of my favorites. And so Podwipeout is a podcatcher where you go there and you're like, I would like to listen to the Morphin Grid. And then it there's like a wipeout sound and it spins, and then it's a podcast about the Beetleborgs, but from another dimension. So it's our alternate dimension Turtles Ninja Turtles podcast.
Or... it's just that one CKY song that they play on all the slam tapes on skateboarding. And that's every podcast. It's just that song.
That song is not called Wipeout.
No, but they play it on the Wipeout skateboard videos.
Okay.
When everybody's wiping out. You see, I didn't want to just do Wipeout the surf rock song.
it's a good wet song.
I know, but it's the low hanging fruit.
And we're usually so above that here.
Yeah, I think we hold ourselves to a certain standard.
Anyway, if you want to leave us a rating interview in any of those places, that would be great. It helps the show through algorithms, you know. Also, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. For as little as a dollar a month, you can help support the show, and you get some new stuff in return, and we really appreciate it. This is a Monday episode. And also the only episode this week. And also we have a guest. So do y'all just want to jump in?
Let's do it.
That CKY song is called 96 Quite Bitter Beings. That I didn't Google that. That's just I was trying to think of it and it just popped into my head. And so
does it have words or is it just like an instrumental?
No, it definitely has lyrics.
It just loops the opening riff over and over again on skateboard videos.
Look, you know what you're there for. You know what you come to the song for. It's for that one riff. I used to be a skateboarder, so I know all these things.
I had a cheap WWE skateboard from like JCPenney or something.
Nice. For pennies.
I jumped on it one time and the truck broke.
A quality machine you had there.
You know the skateboard that is designed to be off and landed on all the time broke when I landed on it.
Well, I think you got what you paid for.
I fell off a skateboard one time.
Oh, I fell off plenty. I broke my collarbone falling off one. Well, jumping off one. It was a calculated error, I think. I also sprained my foot on one. I hit a wood chip and the board stopped and I didn't. And I landed straight down like a ballerina on my foot, except I don't have incredible toe strength like they do. And so the whole inside of my foot blew up.
Similar to what happens to Hunter in this episode.
Yeah. We start off not on Hunter, on Tori. It's a Tori episode and Tori's surfing. She's doing a surf real quick. And she gets back to the beach and she goes to like her stuff for a second. And there's some like meathead surfer dudes like, oh, what a babe. And by the way, I've never heard someone so bad at hiding their accent in my whole life than one of these guys.
Did not try at all.
I feel like he tried, but not like like, he tried to do a different accent, but not an American one. And it's like whatever other accent he tried doing and his New Zealish accent combined to make this weird thing.
I think he just had a, like, regional variant on a New Zealand accent that we're just not used to hearing.
Maybe. Yeah, what do surfer dudes sound like in New Zealand? I think it's this guy. They're like, oh, what a babe. She's like 3 feet away from them, so like they're not being coy or anything. And then one of them does a classic neg, which turns into just being misogynist, like real quick, because he's like, yeah, she even hit some good moves out there for a girl. Stay out of the way, girl.
And then they high five and like bench press and yeah, do curls. Right.
They slam a brewski, and so Tori just like walks between them, like, excuse me, and she goes out to hit like the good swell that's about to hit.
Yeah, because they said she did good for a girl, but she better leave all the big swells to us men, us manly men that surf better.
We surf with our dicks, I guess. Like, what's your point, guys? I hate them. I hate these guys. These two guys suck. So she goes out to do a surf. The shark guy from Shane's Karma, whose name I cannot remember. Sharky. Sharky. Is it just Sharky? I don't think it's just Sharky.
I remember.
Shark mouth.
Sharknado.
Finhead.
I have no idea. I literally can't. And that episode hasn't aired yet, so, like, Benny, you can't even help if you haven't watched the episode.
No, I did. That was the episode that I watched up to before this. I didn't watch the two-parter you all just finished.
Okay.
I like this guy's design, but yeah, I cannot remember his name.
Yeah, it's a great design. It's okay, because we're not going to really see him again, so it doesn't matter.
They play this off later like it was a different guy, right?
Well, so he's there with a moth, with Mothra, a gold Mothra monster, and he's like, all right, Mothra, do your thing. And so Mothra just spits some gold dust out at Tori, and so she hits the swell and wipes out. And later at like the end, it'll like they just completely forget about Sharky, and they're like, oh, that was Moth Guy's whole, that was all him, that was his entire plan, nobody else is a part of this, don't worry about it. Is it like Viliax?
Vexicus.
I was like, it feels like there's a V and an X in there.
Also, according to Ranger fandom wiki, Ranger wiki.
Okay.
The Shane's Karma, the two-parter, is considered the quintessential Ninja Storm episode. seen as the best and remembered fondly in light of Pua's death. Wait, I don't know why they would throw that in at the end.
Yeah, that's I feel like Shane has been better.
Yeah,
since that episode and before it.
So has Ninja Storm.
Yeah, the episodes aren't bad. They're just, I don't know if I would. I don't know if like you, if you got to watch one episode, it's got to be this one. No, it's, you should watch Something About Mara.
You should watch,
or whatever the real title is.
Yeah, Something About Mara. And this episode actually is probably.
Yeah, this is also up there. Anyway, so she wipes out, and if you're a dork like me, the first thing you notice is that the film gradient is, the color temperature is different. Everything's kind of orangey now, and yep. I went, "Oh, we're in another universe!" Like immediately
when she gets hit by this massive wave, and when she falls. And it shows her hitting the water.
Yeah.
She slams into the water. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, she hit it hard. And I was like, oh, man, she had to take a break after she shot that.
Yeah. If it's the shot I'm thinking of, it's like a top down of Sally Martin, like, back flopping into the water.
Yeah. You can see her just, like, stop dead on the surface of the water and then kind of, like, sink into it.
Yeah, good for her for taking that bump.
They must have spent some money on this, I don't know, dunk tank, whatever it was, because, spoilers, they reused the shot.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they definitely spent some money, because, if you're not going to reuse the same thing if you're not, like, we put too much money into this to just use it for one shot.
Yeah.
So she's walking around. She gets back to the beach. Everything's kind of orange. There's Zackies everywhere. There's monsters everywhere. She's like, what's going on? There's a Zackie doing something near an old lady, and it's sort of hard to tell what.
He's standing toward her and moving his arms in a what I'm gonna describe as a pumping motion.
Yeah, and so Tori
but he
sees
also, he also has like a sun hat and an apron on.
He's got like board shorts, or maybe he doesn't have board shorts. Some of them have
board shorts on. Yeah,
yeah. And so Tori runs up and grabs him and like spins him around and flips him over, and she like helps the old lady up. She says, "There you go, ma'am." And the old lady, who again is not trying even a little bit to hide her accent, is like, what are you doing? She's like, that's a Kelzak. And she's like, yeah, I know. Mind your own business, little girl. And apparently the Kelzak was just like pumping up the beach,
her chair. It's just an inflatable beach chair
that this lady was in while she was in it, which would make it way harder. So rude, lady. Who's the real villain here?
This lady looks like she probably doesn't wear a mask, so.
No, definitely not.
she's definitely the type that would sit in an inflatable chair and ask you to pump it up.
Yeah, hey, you, pump it up, Zacky.
But shout out to this actress for just chewing through this line that she was given.
Yeah, she just goes for it, and like it's right up in her face. Like it's like right, like it's an extreme close-up when she's yelling at Tori, and it's like, yeah, just go for it, lady. Go all out. Tori's like, all right, I need to go find the guys. So she drives the storm chargers. And there's monsters in there, and one's like, do you have this in extra large? Like, it's a shoe or something.
He has, like, flippers.
Yeah, he's like, I need super – it should have been Footzilla. And he should be like, do you have these in 15XL for my big feet?
Do you have one of these that will fit my big foot head?
I'm going to put them on all over my body. I'm going to be so good at swimming. That was
so hydrodynamic.
So then she looks over at Kelly, who's just sitting on a dirt bike in the middle of the place, and she's like – punk Kelly.
She's like punk goth Kelly.
Like punk goth Kelly. She has like I don't know what to call it, but like her lipstick, there's also like a little triangle
underneath it. I've never seen that before.
I feel like I've seen it once in 2003, so like it's period accurate at least.
Yeah, so Tori comes up to her and is like, oh Kelly, you changed your hair and your everything.
She's like, yeah. What do you want? It's like, all right, Kelly. Goth Kelly is mean.
Yeah.
Dang.
Also, Kelly needed to have a bigger role in the show because she's a very good actress.
Yeah.
And I enjoy Kelly every time. Megan Nichols rules. Every time Kelly's on the screen, I'm like, oh, hey, Kelly's here.
Yeah. But she's like, yeah, you're going to buy anything? Because if not, get out. And she's like, I need to – are there the guys around? She's like, a lot of guys come through here. You want me to know every single one of them? And Tori's like, I mean, the ones that work here? And she's like, oh, yeah, stock boys. So out comes Zergane and Jubo, who I guess work at Storm Chargers.
Well, Zergane comes out and falls down immediately.
Well, yes, because he's a dunce now.
And then Kelly yells for Jubo, and and Tori's like, you've got to be kidding me.
Oh, I hate that guy.
This is such a good reaction shot where she just turns her head wide-eyed, just goes, no way.
Yeah.
Like, she's starting to catch on, but she's still going to take a while to figure it out.
Yeah, it takes a couple more minutes. But yeah, and like, to her credit, Sally Martin is extremely good at being bewildered, at, like, playing, like, what the hell is happening here? She's, like, really good at that. So, yeah, Jubo comes out and is like, God, oh, Zergane, you're laying down on the job. I'm going to dock your pay. It's like, you're also a stock boy. You cannot do that, Jubo. Also, he's paid by the hour. You can't dock. That's not how jobs work. Like, this isn't 1920. You can't just do that.
Yeah, but kids don't know that. But yeah, he's just saying adult stuff at Zergane.
Yeah. So she's like, okay, bye. Or no, maybe before she leaves, this is when she sees on the TV, there's like a news report about the Power Rangers being menaces and just like destroying old buildings in the city. So not really menaces so much as like an early demolition crew. They're like attacking abandoned buildings. So like, they're just punks. Just let them do whatever. But yeah, they're like evil. So she's like, okay, that's wrong. She leaves. She goes to Ninja Ops, where all five of them are there, but Dustin is like hidden. Like, I didn't notice Dustin for a minute, and I think that's on purpose. And so it's like, it's Cam and Blake and Hunter and Shane, and they're like sparring kind of.
Yeah.
But they're just like being rowdy at each other.
They're sparring evilly.
Rowdy boys.
Yeah, and they're like loud. So you know they're evil. Tori comes in and she's like, hey, what the hell's going on? I just saw the Power Rangers are attacking the city. Like, what's going on? And they're like, yeah, we're out of control. And they're like, they're all over the place. Like, Shane's doing a Batman voice. Hunter's trying to do the Joker 4 years early. Like, it's so weird.
It's really weird. They're pulling all these, like, extra faces.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, well, we haven't seen him yet, but in a minute, when Dustin shows up, it looks like it's hurting him to talk out of his mouth.
Honestly, one of my favorite things in Power Rangers is when you get the weird episodes that just lets the actors just go full throttle, like completely ridiculous or just a silly situation, and then they pull off the acting really well. I don't know how well the acting pulls off here, but yeah, like it's just great watching them. Like Hunter's super creepy. I feel like Blake is the one who's most like his normal character. He's just a little mean.
Yeah, Blake is just like a little, he's like kind of a jerk. He's not terrible, he's just like kind of a jerk. That's the only difference. Cam is full on clam. Like he's just cyber clam, but not cyber anymore. And so they're, I forget exactly what they say, but they're just like kind of being like, you know, mean and weird. And then Dustin is in the chair and he turns around like a Bond villain. He's like, I made a machine that's going to tear this place apart. And like, yeah, Glenn McMillan is like fully contorting every muscle in his face.
Yeah.
Apparently, and then Cam's like, that's why you're the cyber genius, bro, or whatever, because they're one's dumb and one's smart now because they're evil, and that's all it takes. Also, Sensei is there, and she's like, Sensei, are you going to stop this? And he's just like a dink. He's like, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Like, the waterfall's that way. And it's like, okay, so I guess evil Sensei is just apathetic more than anything. But then Tori's like, this is wrong. Like, we can't just destroy the city. Like, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, so you don't want us to destroy the city then? And then Glenn McMillan, who I will have held and will continue to hold, is the best actor on the show so far.
For sure.
He's also the best at hiding his accent, because you would not know.
Yeah.
Except in this episode, on one word, he says against instead of against. Because they're all like lined up against Tori, and they're like, if you're not with us, you're against us. And I was like, gotcha, Glenn. You are just a human.
Busted.
I just watched all of the Xenon movies, and he's in the third one, and I just did not realize what his actual accent sounds like until I watched that movie, because, yeah, he's pretty good at hiding it.
Yeah, that movie is on the short list for what to watch after the show is over, because Josh, have you watched any of the Xenon movies?
I have not seen any Xenon, no.
Girl of the 23rd century? 21st century, I think, but I just want to say 23rd, because that's more future-y.
21st is the one we're in now, so. Yeah.
I know, well, this is a Disney Channel original movie made in, like, 98, so. Yeah, apparently Glenn McMillan just did the third one, and I was like, hell yeah, we should watch it. Where was I? Oh, so then they all, like, attack her, and she fights all five Rangers, which is great.
The few seconds before the fight starts, when they all, like, sidestep together, and she, like, has this look of concern on her face, is, like, genuinely a little scary when you think, like, my friends are about to attack me. Like, it's a pretty good moment of emotion.
Yeah, there's like a lot going on too, because it's like, it's 5-1, so I'm about to be like jumped. But then it's also her going like, okay, well, I'm about to have to fight my friends too, so let me like square up for this. There's a lot going on. It's really well done. She fends them all off. She doesn't like beat them or anything, but she definitely like fights five Power Rangers off by herself, which is really dope.
Yeah.
So Tori's the best one, confirmed. And like, we'll get the like the reconfirmation a little bit later, which is even better.
Yep.
So then she leaves, and she's like walking through like the park or whatever, and there's like Zackies and monsters running around with like this stinky snail is there with like a kite, just like running around, just like that being like goofballs. And then we hear Mara and Capri singing, and I don't remember what they're singing, but it's just
a hippie song.
It's just some sort of hippie song. And then they come up and they're like super duper extremely hippies. It's just wild. I forget what they give themselves, like hippie last names. She's like, because Mara's like, I'm Mara Marigold something.
It's like Marigold Moonbeam or something.
Something. And then Capri's like, and I'm Capri Unicorn Chaser or something like that.
I think it was Rainbow Chaser.
Rainbow Chaser. And they talk about unicorns a lot also because they're hippies. And they're also probably definitely high right now is how I think they're playing it.
It's weird that they like, this is the thing for these two characters, because in the, I think it was I Love Lothar episode, when they go down to the planet, in their disguises are like kind of hippie outfits too. So I guess the writers just like them as hippies.
Every time they show up in disguise, it's like on, except for like when they are disguised as like scientists or like disguised as something specific, it's always like on some sort of hippie scale. Mm-hmm. And so I think, and Shannon said this on one of the on our Patreon, on one of like the posts for this, for an episode, I don't remember which one, but she was like, yeah, like that, like the 70s were like back in 2003, like she had like bell bottoms and like, you know, like the updated versions of that fashion. And since nostalgia is on like a 30-year like trend, which is wild, because now next decade, the 2030s, where it's going to be 2000s nostalgia.
I cannot wait for cutoff shorts and flannels tied around the waist again. I'm so excited.
We got literally within 3 years, it's going to happen. I can almost guarantee it. And I'm ready. I have enough flannels. I got jeans I don't need that I can make cutoffs out of. But yeah, so apparently like, that's just like how it was. So I think they just really leaned into that. And then this is like the culmination of that, where they are just straight up hippies. Like they have like a harp and a tambourine or something.
You can even see it in a lot of Tori's clothes too.
Yeah.
There's like hippie vibes to it. Especially that weird rope twine belt that she has.
Her loin belt. It's in the episode that will go up next, Benny. It's weird. It's not a belt. It's not a loincloth. It's some sort of hemp cross between the two. She wears it a lot after that.
And like in this episode, she's got these like kind of bell-bottom capris, but they're like thick vertical stripes. Very 70s vibes on those too.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, another little thing, and I don't remember what it was. I think it was when she was on her way to Stormchargers, and it's just a tiny little touch that I thought was very charming. Is like as she's walking, she puts her hair up. And I don't remember the last time I've seen a Power Ranger put their hair up. And it was just like, oh, this is nice. Like, you're a person. Like, I like that. So anyway, she's like, what do we do about the Power Rangers? She's talking to Mara and Capri. And they're like, well, you should talk to the mayor. He could help. Like, it's his job to like protect everybody. She's like, okay, where's the mayor? And so they take her to a Lothar's spaceship, which is parked in the middle of the city and has like tendrils coming out of it,
leggies or something. It was gross.
What is this?
It's like plugged into buildings and stuff. Like this seems like it's in the end of Hurricaneer, where they've taken over, like they've crash landed and they're taking over like the government buildings,
and they're just like, this is the mayor's house.
This is where the mayor lives.
It's
he
so
just
weird.
Parked his ship. So she goes in, and they're like, wait right here. Oh, also, right before, she's like, all right, take me to the mayor, but please, one thing, don't sing. And they're like, okay. And she's like, thank God. So they go to the mayor. She's there waiting. She's like sitting on a chair. Again, it's all, there's a lot of flowers. It's very hippie in here too.
Before, because they bring her to the mayor and they're like, okay, you gotta wait. And then they have a big group hug as they leave.
Yeah,
they have to go do a puppet show.
Yeah,
and they're stoked about this puppet show. So she sits down and she's waiting, and then the mayor comes in, and it's Lothar in a white suit, and Tori faints. And I don't know what she expected, because she's on Lothar's ship.
His name is on the desk. He has a nameplate.
She came in and she saw there's all these flowers and banners and like prizes you win for selling wrapping paper in middle school and all that kind of stuff. And she's like, there's a lot to take in. I can't do any reading. So that's why she was surprised by Mary Lothar, who, by the way, there is no better look in the world than a luchador in a suit. Like, you just can't beat that. And that's basically just what Lothar is right now. And it looks amazing.
I did not notice how long his hair was until it was against a white suit.
Right. It's like 3 feet long. Yeah. It's very long. So she faints. We go to commercial. We come back. And Motodrone is, like, I guess, Lothar's secretary. Still in the cloak, which seems sinister. So, yeah. But he's like, hey, are you okay? You fainted. You gave us kind of a fright. And then he kind of walks away. And Lothar's like, oh, you got to be careful. Don't stand up too quick now. And she's like, what the hell? What the hell, man? So then she's like, hey, what are you doing about the Power Rangers? He's like, ah, nothing, really. And she's like, why? You have to pray to the city. He's like, yeah, I don't want no trouble in my place. So I haven't really.
You have trouble.
You've got trouble. It's five teenagers with attitude blowing up abandoned buildings. So far, maybe some of them used to be.
They're escalating.
Yeah. Well, even like, because in when we see Dustin, he turns around and he's like, ah, I figured out a new weapon that'll level the city. And it's like, that's a big step up from, like, we're going to go tear down a warehouse or whatever.
We're going to go shoot some barrels.
We're going to drink too much Surge and throw rocks at someone's windows.
Tantrum!
Tantrum! It's like a hot ball of lead in my stomach. So then he's like, yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not doing anything. She's like, okay, well, that sucks, and you're useless, and I'm going to leave. So she leaves to, I assume, go confront them, because I kind of have a gap in my memory, because she just finds them.
Did we skip over her walking through the park, figuring out that she's in an alternate dimension? Oh,
I mean, I don't think we mentioned that, yeah.
She just pinches herself, and she's like, well, that's not a dream.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, it's like, and she immediately is like, it must be an alternate dimension because she's a Power Ranger and has dealt with weird stuff. And she's not like,
yeah,
I don't know what could be happening. Why are those guys acting like that?
Which is great, because if this is any other Power Rangers, they'd be like, what's going on? This, you know, like, even after, they'd be like, oh, it can't be a parallel dimension. Something happened. And she's just like, no, I get it. I know what, I get the score.
As soon as the snail monster skips by with a kite, she's like, oh, parallel dimension. Got it.
Obviously. Yeah. Yeah. So she goes, she meets up with the Rangers. She's like, hey, I got to stop you because you can't just, like, tear up the town. And they're like, oh, yeah. And they're all morphed and they have their weapons out. And so she's like, yeah, and I'm going to morph, too. So she goes to morph and nothing happens, which is maybe the weirdest, the thing that I'm trying to figure out why the most. Why can't she morph? She has a morpher. Presumably she is in the place of this world's Tori, because they know her and they, like, are friends with her.
Because her morpher is connected to the other dimension's morphin grid and not the dimension that she's currently in.
She doesn't have this morphin grid's Wi-Fi password to morph.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi is also opposite.
So it's if-wit.
So what we find out later is that this whole dimension is from the gold winger, the moth creature.
Yeah.
So in reality, this is just a demiplane that he has created for a very specific purpose. So
it just has the shield up, the Morphin Grid blocking shield.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I just took it as red. They're like, I sent her to a different dimension with my magic, right? And so if it was like a complete opposite dimension, then it's like, she should still be able to morph, right? And then, yeah, but, or there should be an evil Tori there still. Like, if she's there, so where's this dimension's Tori the whole time then?
Yeah, well, they can't just keep doing evil Tories.
Why not? Give me one good reason why they can't keep doing evil Tories.
Goldwinger does, I think, refer to it as my dimension later on. Like, how did you get out of my dimension? Spoilers, she gets out.
Yeah, the good guys win. Spoiler. Just kind of mad we didn't get to see evil Tori. She would probably be like a ditzy bimbo, right? Like, that's, like, judging by, like, everything else.
Yeah.
Like, Blake is sort of neutral. Everybody else has slid some way. And then, like, Cam and Dustin have completely flip-flopped. So, like, I feel like Tori would be, like, she would be, like, a very stereotypical dumb blonde.
Was Harley Quinn popular at this point? Because I feel like she'd probably have given off Harley Quinn probably. Vibes.
2003, I think this was before like the renaissance of Harley Quinn, which is like, I think, late 20-aughts. But maybe, again, any evil Tory you want to give me, I will watch. I just am a big fan. Oh, sorry. This is when Glenn's accent slipped. This is when he says against us. Because I think earlier Blake said it, now that I'm thinking about it. So she says, oh, I hate other dimensions, and then goes to fight all the Rangers. She's been in one alternate dimension, and it's this one, and it sucks. So she just hates them all. But it's five morphed Power Rangers with their giant murder weapons versus Tori Hansen, regular style, and she's winning. She's like... beating them up. Like at one point, she disarms Dustin entirely. She goes through all of them, and the only thing is like Blake like dodges and then like flips her over, and so she's like on the ground, and she's like, then they can all group up around her. But other than that, Tori was beating up the Power Rangers. So every time before this, when they're like, oh no, when Dustin's like, well, Tori hits harder than you, and she's like, oh yeah. That's like, this is real. Like, Tori can just beat everyone up if she wanted to.
Absolutely, positively one of my favorite moments in Power Rangers. She, like, squares up to go fight them, tries to morph, realizes she can't morph, and then it's just like, oh, well, I guess it's time to crack some heads.
Yeah. I think that's like the thing that makes her go like, all right, kid gloves are off, friends. If you're going to use superpowers, I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah, I'm not pulling any punches.
Because she knocks everybody down. They're, like, shooting at her, and she's dodging and, like everything. At one point, she, like, backflips off a car hood. She just, like, runs up it and backflips, and they're all like, whoa. It's like, yeah, Tori rules, everyone.
Yeah, well, she is a trained ninja, and I feel like this is forgotten a lot, is that when they're unmorphed, they still are, like, they still have ninja magic and ninja abilities.
And ninja fight training, presumably.
That have nothing to do with being a Power Ranger. It's just like a different kind of magic that exists in the Ninja Storm world.
Yeah. So she gets like arm dragged down, basically, and then they all like group up around it, like all five at once. We can't do this Mook style or else we will lose against Tori.
I do want to say I appreciate the stunt actor who very expertly, when she gets flipped over on the hood of the car, just brings her arm up to cover her face so you can't actually see who it is.
The stunt actors have taken like a master class in hiding their faces during fight scenes. It's like sometimes their hair just happens to be positioned exactly right.
Yeah. There's a it's in this fight. There's a I don't know what the move is or something, but she does like a full on like no hands side cartwheel, and like the whole time the actress's face, like the stunt actress's face, is like just slightly out of camera until like the hair comes in front of it right when she looks at the camera. It's like you couldn't have planned it better. It's just really well done. So they go to execute Tori. The Power Rangers go to commit a murder. And then they all get exploded, and they blow up, and like there's a huge explosion. They land, like, what was that? And then out walks some nice shoes and a white suit,
an incredibly sharp dressed man,
and it's Lothar. And this is so dope. Like, this is so good. So Lothar walks out, and they're like, oh, it's Mayor Lothar. Ugh, you suck. Aren't you afraid of us? And he goes, yeah. Which is rad.
Yeah.
He's like, but they aren't. And he just moves his hands out. And then all of the generals and a bunch of Zackies and some other monsters and Mara and Capri show up. And it is so cool. I was just watching it, so I didn't really take notes because I was just like, hell yes. All I remember, well, here's what I wrote down for this, is that Mara does a laser blast.
Yep.
She does like a very cool like... Tai Chi laser.
She has to do some like Naruto hand signals to get like charge it up.
And then just shoots a laser at like Blake or something. Shane gets tripped.
Yeah.
Because he's charging. Zackies like trip him.
He's charging somebody and they trip him from like behind a barrel or something. They just like shoot at his feet.
And then Lothar has an arm wrestle versus Dustin, which is kind of weird.
Oh, it's Chubo.
Oh, you're right. It is. No, it's
No,
you're right. Yes, it's Chubo because Cam fights Lothar, and that's the one bad part of the fight, I think. But yeah, he's arm wrestling Chubo, and then Zergain just like, or Zaki's like tickle his belly, and so he loses and gets flung over.
They're not the villains, but they still fight dirty.
Which I like, because like the Power Rangers are clearly more powerful, so like you're allowed to, right? And there's also like way more of them too, which is like, but it's like they're clearly villains who no one can stop. So like, let's just get all of us here. There's strength in numbers.
It's crazy that this is like a weird, probably unintentional peek at like if the villains got their crap together, they would win.
That I think is it, because like there's also like every time they fight Tori, it's mostly one on one, right? Sometimes like two of them will throw kicks and she'll block both of them, but it's mostly like one on one. And I think the secret message here is like evil people don't work together as well as good people.
Yeah.
And that is your downfall. Like that will make you lose every time. Which is kind of beautiful. It's just that like if you just work together, you'll win. Like so then Lothar is like, all right, Cam, you and me are going to fight. And Cam's like, oh, totally, dude. Yeah, finally. And then there's this really weirdly shot, like, Three Stooges boxing match that they have that I do not like. Because it's mostly Lothar just getting punched in his face and chest and trying to do stuff. And then he throws, like, one good uppercut and it, like, knocks Cam back. And he throws, like, the same uppercut two more times until it flips Cam over. It's like, hey, punching is good or whatever. It's just weirdly shot.
Yeah, the other weird thing in this fight sequence, once the not villains show up, is Tori, who's just sitting on the ground, like casually holding her shoulder, which I guess got injured earlier, and just like
right,
real casually chuckling or smiling.
She's like she's reacting positively to her friends being beaten up by the aliens she wants to kill.
Well, no, but here's the thing. I mean, yes, that is weird. Under any other circumstances, that'd be weird, right? But I think because Tori has, number one, figured out it's an alternate dimension, knows it's a different dimension, it's not hers, like, has totally bought into that fact, and she just, like, understands the reality of the situation. She's like, well, they're not my friends. They're evil. They did try to kill me. They were going to kill me with the swords. So, like, yeah, get beat up. Yeah, I love it when Capri kicks Hunter in the neck or whatever she did. Like, because she's like princess sitting. Like, she's sitting on the ground, but her legs are kind of out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she's just like sitting casually, like her hands are together. Like, I expect birds to come braid her hair or whatever. And she's like, oh, I love it when Lothar kicks Cam's ass.
It feels like a music video where you have like the scenes of the band like rocking out, and then they cut to the scenes of like the beautiful woman just kind of like existing.
Yeah.
It's a very weird, like very weirdly shot scene, and whatever directions she was given for how to respond to all of this stuff. It was just bizarre.
I feel like with heavy air quotes, evil Lothar being as like meek as he is, that was a good opportunity to let Tori be in this fight instead of Lothar.
Yeah.
It's weird that, like, the big fight against the evil Power Rangers in a Tori Spotlight episode has Tori sitting on the sidelines being a cheerleader.
Well, I mean, I would have loved her to, like, get in there and, like, do some tag team moves with Mara and Capri and all the other villains, the good guys. But I think she's like holding her shoulder, so like she got hurt a little bit. So she's just like, there's 12 of them versus 5 Rangers. Maybe they got this.
Well, her role in the second half of the fight is that she inspired the villains.
So yeah, like, that's true.
She goes toe to toe with, you know, 5 morphed Power Rangers for as long as she can handle, and then she would have been defeated and lost had she not inspired other people to rise up and be heroes as well, which I think is a good, you know, that's pretty good too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I also think that like that part of her being like, yeah, is like her seeing that like they're doing something about it now. They're not just being hippies doing nothing, you know. Like, especially when Lothar comes out, she's like, yes. Like, so then the monsters, Lothar and his crew, put their weapons together and shoot the Power Rangers with a big laser like you do when you kill monsters.
Space Ninja Striker!
That's pretty dope. So they blast them. They fly away. Or no, they unmorph. They're hit so hard, they unmorph. And then they are arrested by Zackies and Zergane and Jubo and all them. So they like have them. And Blake's like, what, are we in trouble? And it's like, yeah, dog, you were trying to murder people. That's a bad thing, Blake. So they're like, yeah, we're not going to like kill you, but like you can't just use your Power Ranger powers to like do bad stuff. And Hunter's like, whatever, Power Rangers is lame anyway. I'm going to take up skateboarding. And Shane's like, skateboarding's lame. I think motocross is cool, actually.
And then they get hauled away.
And they get like huffy at each other and they get hauled away. And it's like, okay, bye. Bye, everybody.
Well, you can't do motocross in jail, so.
No, it's very little space. You could do skateboarding in jail.
Yeah. Alcatraz is a level in like Tony Hawk 3, I think.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Maybe this dimension doesn't believe in purely punitive reaction to crime and is actually trying to rehabilitate people. I don't know.
Maybe. This seems like a better place, actually, than the one that we got stuck with. So then she's like, oh, hey, thanks for taking care of the powers. Look what you did. This is great. And they're like, yeah. And Tori's like, now if only I could get back to my dimension, that would be cool, too. And then Mara's like, why don't you just go back the way you came? She's like, oh, I hadn't considered that. And then Capri's like, you're so smart, Mara. And Mara's like, well, you're so pretty, Capri. And it's like, well, get it. This is not the real world.
I like them getting along.
Same.
It's nice.
Just let Mara and Capri be friends.
Right. Then she goes back to the ocean to do another surf. And she does another surf. And she does another wipeout. And we use the shot again. Because you paid for it.
Yeah. So Disney is going to reuse this plot device years later for Teen Beach Movie.
I was going to say, this is Teen Beach Movie, the movie. Yeah. Yes. Like exactly. Except instead of going to a world where all your friends are evil criminals and all the villain monsters are helpful, it's you just land in like a beach movie from the 50s. So she's like on like a sandbar. Like, because she was out in the water and she crashed, and then she's like, we kind of like go to commercial, we come back, and she's like on, it might be like just the beach, but it's like there's a bunch of seaweed and stuff. So I thought she was like, there's like, oh, I found a sandbar in the middle of the ocean. And Dustin runs up, everybody runs up, but Dustin mostly runs up, everybody except Cam. Cam's not there, he's working. And they're like, Tori, oh my God, we found you. And she hops up, she's like, hey, back off, man. And Dustin's like, whoa, I showered today. Like,
He's so upset. He's like, I even showered.
And she's like, wait, Dustin, is that you? He's like, he sniffs his armpit and goes, yeah?
Yeah.
I love him so much.
He's the greatest. And then she's like, oh, thank God, you're you again. They're like, yeah, well, why? And she's like, well, and before she can say anything, there's like the Mothra man is shooting stuff. She's like, wait, what's going on? And I think, I don't know if it's Blake or Shane. One of them are like,
it's Dustin.
Was it Dustin? It's like, yeah, there's a big butterfly attack in the city. So yeah. It's like, you know, normal stuff.
For a minute, I was like, is this a different alternate universe where it literally is going to be like a big regular butterfly? And right up until we see the monster, I was like, it still feels a little weird, but maybe it's because we were in the evil dimension for so long.
Yeah, well, the color correction is back to normal, so yeah. That's how you know it's not like a green world or like a slightly purple world, it's like regular. So then she's like, yeah, all right, let's do it. And they go to morph, like, ready, and they like get in formation, and then it just pauses, and they look around and go like, oh, there's like a lot of people around, we should go somewhere else. And they're like, Dustin's like, yeah, there's people. And they're like, yeah, okay, over here. So they like go over like around a corner at the beach.
It's such a dumb joke, but it actually lands really funny.
It's really good. Because the pause is like just long enough for you to see somebody walk behind them at some point. And they're like, oh, we got too excited. we can't do it here. So they go morph. They fight I'm trying to remember, they just go fight the butterfly in like a alley or something, right?
We yeah. Basically enter this episode already in progress, which I actually really like about that.
Yeah. So they're fighting it. Hunter does some sort of very cool staff attack where he beats the wings off of Mothra Man, which is a little gruesome, but it's okay because the wings regenerate. But still, dang, Hunter, just kill the monster. they fight it some more. I think Cam shows up. When he does, the theme song starts playing.
So, when Cam shows up, it stops being a Tori episode. And it's a little bit disappointing. I feel like Tori should have got some more in the back end of this episode.
This is a weird thing, and I don't know if this is like an adaptational problem or if it's like just a problem that Power Rangers or probably a combination of two. But if you think back to like the early days of Power Rangers, like if there was a Kim episode, like Kim would do the final strike on the monster, and then they would do the Zords, and it was more of a team anyway. But it was, you know, nobody really had a role. Like even like Jason wasn't like, I do the thing. It's like they all called the sword, and they all did the thing. But like in Zach's birthday, I think it's Zach's birthday with the knight. Like Zach had the plan to kill the knight, right? Mm-hmm. So like it's a Zach episode. Zach defeats the monster. At some point, I don't know if the Sentai footage is like they were like whatever, just let him. Red Ranger and Six Ranger win at the end, no matter who the episode was about. But like it seems to happen a lot more frequently. Like here's a Tori episode, and then Shane kills the monster after Cam does the damage. And it's like, okay, well, what about Tori? She fought five Power Rangers unmorphed a minute ago. I know she could beat up this moth, like, easy. But I don't know if they just, like, took, like, an episode that they're like, this is just a random thing. It has nothing to do with the Blue Ranger from Hurricanger. And just, like, we built this whole thing in the front of it. And then, so, like, whatever, but.
Most of the Super Sentai seasons that I have watched actually haven't been adapted into Power Rangers episodes, so I actually have no idea. I assume it's an adaptation problem that there just aren't enough Blue Ranger episodes, so the Power Ranger writers forced this one to be.
Yeah, and the footage is definitely Cam beating the crap out of the moth monster.
Yeah, and then going, hey, you got it, Shane. And Tori be like, yeah, I was in an alternate dimension for a while, but Shane, you take this one. And maybe they're just like, yeah, Tori's tired. She almost drowned. So, like, so then Shane gets his muscle butt suit on and he nukes the hell out of this moth and it dies. And like, that's it. Bye, moth.
Yeah, no Zords this episode.
Nope.
Yeah.
I think the muscle butt suit is because like it used to be like sometimes they wouldn't do Zords because they put all their weapons together and then blew it up that way. And then like now we got a new way that we don't need to do Zords, but you still see something you could sell as a toy.
Yeah,
so,
as long as there's an ad at the end.
Yeah, as long as we're selling toys, it doesn't matter how we end the episode. So we go to commercial. We come back. Blake and Tori are at the beach. They're having like a picnic or they're just like sitting down on a blanket or something.
They're on a date.
No, they're not.
They have not said it, but they are.
Visually, this is all date visual language, right? But they are not because it's just them like hanging out. Biggest air quotes you can find. And Blake's like, no, there's no way. And she's like, no, that's what happened. Like that, I went to another dimension, and you were evil. He's like, no, it doesn't matter because no matter what dimension I'm in, I'd still like. Oops. And then Tori gets like blushy, and it's like. Ooh!
And then he finishes the sentence. He says, I'd still like you. He doesn't backpedal.
Yeah, good job, Blake.
I do like that even evil Blake had hints that he was still into Tori. It was probably a horribly dysfunctional relationship in that dimension.
Oh, for sure.
But like, you could still tell that there was like some connection between the two of them. So I like that like carried over between dimensions.
Yeah, and what's that on the ground? Oh, it's a plot thread from 12 episodes ago. Remember how when Blake had a huge crush on Tori and then he like sprayed her with some stinky perfume and that went away for a long time? It's back.
She's finally over. She doesn't smell like Dustin anymore, and so she likes Blake.
Does his
again.
Dead grandma's feet. But yeah, and it's like really cute. And he's like, yeah, and like I don't know why you had to prove yourself to those big meatheads anyway. She's like, I didn't. They just made me real mad, and I just did something about it. And he's like, well, okay, I get it. But from now on, no surfing alone. She's like, all right, cool. And he's like, what? And she's like, grabs him by the hand. He's like, you volunteered. And he does not know how to surf. So she drags him out into the water. And it's going like really quick because there's like a little bit of a wave coming in. She's like, get on the board. Get on the board. Hold my shoulder. Get on the board. And he tries to, and he falls in the water. And then it gets, he's like, get on. So he jumps on the front and just like kind of like gets taken away. And it's really cute.
Very cute, awkward teen romance. It's cute.
Yeah. My favorite part about the Disney era so far is that they understand that the teens are people.
Yeah.
Because Wild Force, even though some of it was produced under Disney, it was technically under Disney. It was still the same production team and everything doing it. So it was mostly just like a plot factory for a lot of it, especially towards the end. And at no point did any romance have anything past like, oh, I like that girl who has flowers. Like, it was like nothing, you know? But this one, they're like, what a babe. I'd like to kiss her. And then, like, it's like, whoa, hold on, Papa Haim, he's spinning his grave right now.
I like that flower girl. I will win her as a prize.
I will win. Yes, aha.
Oh, Benny, I'm sorry.
way to go, Danny. You really showed Brad Lulz, Chadley, whatever his name, I don't know. Anyway, that's the end of the episode. Benny, you are the guest. What's the best?
For me, I think the best part was that even unable to morph, Tori still squared up to go toe-to-toe with five evil Power Rangers. Like, absolutely, hands down, one of the best scenes in Power Rangers.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's also my best. It's really good. It's really good.
I'm going to go a little bit broader with it, and I'm going to just best Tori's time in the alternate dimension, because she was very good the entire time.
Yeah.
She figured it out immediately and it was just like, I have to solve the problem here before I can leave, or else it's like not right. She inspires Lothor and all the other aliens to like rise up against the evil Power Rangers by literally telling Lothor, if not you, then who?
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. It's a Power Ranger. It's capital P, capital R, Power Rangers stuff.
Tori should have been a red. That's it. I'm putting my balls on the desk.
Man. Yeah, man. Benny, what's the worst?
I was going to go with the weird video sequence thing with Tori just casually chuckling, but no, instead I'm going to go with the casual misogyny at the very beginning of the episode.
Yeah, it served some big air quotes here, purpose, mm-hmm. but those guys suck still. So, like, I'm going to worst the boxing match that Cam and Lothor have, because it is straight up a Three Stooges bit. Like, the camera's, like, 20 yards away watching them. Like, he's like this close to go nyack, nyack. Like, it's so close. It's so weird. Like, the frame rate is sped up a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely at like 1.5 speed.
It's so weird.
It's really
it's
awkward.
Like, here's Lothor getting punked for a minute till he realizes he can do an uppercut. And I was just
I guess this Lothor is not a trained evil space ninja. He's just mayor. He's just a regular mayor. In a luchador alien mask.
But he just has a luchador. Look, honestly, if anyone ran for mayor in a luchador mask, you have my vote. Any city in the world, I will commit voter fraud to vote for the luchador mayor.
I hate to disrail this for a second, but does Lothor have like southern preacher vibes to you, even when he's not wearing a suit?
He was definitely a little revival tenty in the suit. Outside of the suit, I don't think so much, but mostly because he's like an evil ninja more than anything. But in the suit, yeah, oh, definitely.
Okay,
Josh, what's your worst?
I'm gonna worst Cam jumping in literally out of nowhere, asking, "Hey, do you mind if I cut in?" and just like taking over a boss fight. And making a Tori episode about him for a minute.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. We talked about it last episode, but the fact that the Green Ranger is going to be Tommy if this was Hexagon makes a lot of sense when you realize that he just shows up and wins all the time,
yeah.
Which is totally Tommy's MO. And like in your memory, it's much worse than how it like Tommy wasn't like that bad, but like he was definitely a win button. But like, I feel like if they would have extrapolated that to like the extreme, it super would have lined up. Who's the MVP, Benny?
I'm going to skip the obvious MVP for maybe one of you choosing. And I'm going to say Lothor. I thought he's just a real fun character in this episode. And that, like, yeah. I feel like you get a hint at just how powerful he actually is when he just blasts all five of the evil Power Rangers when he comes in at the end.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna give it to him.
Okay, I'm gonna give it. Ooh, I want to give it to Tori because obviously, but I think I want to give it to specifically Glenn McMillan, because he was like evil Dustin, and he went hard, and like his face did like looked like it was made out of like clay. He moved it so weird, like Who are you going to go with, Josh? I'll decide from there.
I had a backup because I didn't want all of us to do Tori. But if no one's going to do Tori, I'll pick Tori.
Who's your backup?
My backup was Kelly.
Can I tell y'all? Goth punk Kelly didn't really do it for me. I don't know. Huh. I don't know what it was.
I was into it. Just her just chilling on a motorcycle.
That I was like... into. I don't know. I said...
It's the weird lipstick triangle. That I think was
that's just throwing me off. Looks like she has a soul patch and doesn't look good on anybody.
But I'm gonna I'll give it to Tori.
Okay, I'm gonna give it to Glenn McMillan then, because boy put in some work, and also he did show one little crack in his armor. He cannot say against like an American. Gotcha, Glenn.
I'm excited for this battle worst. We don't get a lot of those.
No. Yeah, usually fights are pretty all right.
Or you just ignore them if they're bad.
Right. Yeah, right. Because if they're bad, you just like turn your eyeballs off for a second and it usually goes away. Now we do need to rank the episode, though, and I seem to have lost my phone. There it is. I'm going to shoot my shot, and I'm going to say top three.
Let me pull the list up, because I have a half-court shot I want to throw out, but let me look at the list first.
Okay.
Is this better than All About Beevil?
I think it might be. It's more fun.
What happened in All About Beevil that makes it better than Beauty and the Beach?
All About Beevil had Mara turning good, but then that was a psych out.
Real dramatic, like, emotion between Dustin and Mara and betrayal.
The betrayal. Good chemistry.
I don't know if this is better than that now that I remember what that episode is.
That's why I'm saying top. I think number two. I think it goes. I think it's better than Beauty and the Beach, despite the lack of an evil Tori in this one. God.
Yeah, we get evil everybody else, though, and everyone else does, I think, an equally good job.
Asterisk. What was Hunter trying to do?
What
was Hunter going for?
Just creepy.
Yeah. So when I was in film school, we had three major projects. We had like a digital cinematography one, then we had one for our 16mm class, then our final, which was on 35mm, because it's like a technical film school, so we got fancy with it, right? Our digital cinematography one, this is like 8 months in. We barely know anything. We know just enough to make a terrible movie. A video more than anything, and so we had to do casting, and it was a super villain. It was called Super Villains Anonymous. It's bad. You know, no one needs to watch it. but we were casting for some super villains. It was like a super villain support, like help group or whatever, right? And do you know how many? This is in 2009, like early 2009. Do you know how many people showed up just straight up doing the Joker? Just like straight up doing Heath Ledger's Joker?
Like
most of them.
Like 90%.
Most of them. One guy was the worst. You can clearly tell he was just like, I watched The Dark Knight last night and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I did research.
Now, to be fair, that movie was negative 3 years old when this episode of Power Rangers was shot, but it definitely feels... like Hunter's like, I'm doing Heath Ledger's Joker way before Heath Ledger did it.
The only thing missing is he's not licking the sides of his mouth all the time.
He's not licking his face a lot. That's true.
Oh, yeah, that does fit the vibe.
Like, it's really close, right? Like, I don't know if he's trying to do, like, weird serial killer Power Ranger or what. But, yeah, I don't know. Other than that, like, and then Shane would said three lines, but they were all Batman. He was right out here.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, what's going on? He's like I said, we were out of control. It's like, okay, Shane.
We're out of control.
If anyone wants to draw what they think evil Tori would be, feel free. For me, your friend Jake, you know. So yeah, number two, to rank this below All About Evil.
Yeah.
All right. Coming in at number two, The Wild Wipeout. 2/3 of our top three are Tori episodes. So, you know, just saying.
Not even vaguely surprising.
She's, I mean, there's Tori's money.
There's a consistent spine in the season, and it's Tori.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure. All right, that is it. Benny, thank you for coming on.
My only regret is that I didn't pick an episode where all six of them morph at the exact same time to get your reaction to that cacophony.
Oh, don't worry. We talk about that in one of the ones we just recorded.
I think we tell you the last episode we talked about it. They do it twice in a row. It's cluttersome. The only way it could be worse is if each ranger had a different, like, the three wind rangers also had different morph calls. Like, windstorm, airstorm, dirt storm, water storm, whatever, you know. It's a mess. But thank you for coming on, Benny.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Where can people find you online, should you wish to be found?
You can find me on Twitter, at BenActive. That's B-E-N-N active. That's about it for the moment. Find me on the Discord. Join the Patreon.
Yeah. We don't like saying it out like at people like that, but I love it when our guests do.
That's why I do it. I work in fundraising.
I see. So you have vested interest in it.
So you get a notion of like the personal, you know, reason that somebody else would give kind of helps cause you to give.
Well, we appreciate it, Benny. The Discord is a very fun place. Sometimes you talk about someone will talk about Doctor Who on for like a long time, and I was like, "Cool, I'm not going to that channel for a while." And by someone, I mean like half the people in the Discord will all talk about Doctor Who, and I'll go like, "Oh, I've been out of this game for too long." But yeah, it's a cool, fun place. I don't know what the next episode's called. It's the next one, Double Edged Blake. Hold on,
I think it is
Double Edged Blake. Okay. What a title. I hope the whole episode is just a date. It's just Blake and Tori on a date. That's all. It's just like it's a straight up rom-com episode.
But what is the double edge?
There's two Blakes. Blake cloned himself to go on twice as many dates as Tori. We'll find out next week. But until then,
may the power protect you.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Ninja Storm Ranger form.
I was not ready. I'm sorry.
All right, we can go again. Josh does this to me every other episode.
It's the one time I got it right.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Ninja Storm Ranger form. I said let's rock it the other day. I'm a mess.
That one feels good though.
It's the hot mess over here.